Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. I'm here with a panel of experts who are going to analyze, including myself, the latest, probably the most anticipated film of the last, 100 years, maybe ever, Disclosure Day by Steven Spielberg, just released. We just saw the opening night showings, and we have a lot to say. Probably the good and maybe not so good points. I'm here with Linda Moulton Howe, one of the experts, longtime veterans of the field, 50 years of investigations into the phenomena, four books out, Glimpses of Other Realities, part one and two.
Earthfiles.com.
And Earthfiles.com. I'm also joined by two of my longtime colleagues, Dr. J.J. Hertog, who's one of the original investigators, along with J. Allen Hynek, John Mack. He's been all over the world investigating UFO artifacts and philosophy and the spiritual connection there, along with Dr. Desiree Hertog, who's been involved with this scene for many years. We speak at many conferences, the three of us together, and it's this new information, this new movie by Steven Spielberg. And I want to talk to you first. This film is almost a fulfilling of some of the predictions you wanted to see, like We're Not Alone. How did this film hit you?
The first thing was how important frequencies are. And I had read a government document probably 30 years ago in my research of bloodless, trackless animal mutilations, human abductions, behind the scenes in the government, about frequencies in language, but mind to mind. Mm-hmm. And that in the movie, it mm-hmm. was a surprise to see that Steven Spielberg tried to reproduce the
very good. You could have gotten that part.
That was, and I have heard abductees tell me that that's what they've heard, these clicking sounds. Mm. And in the beginning of the film, for the first half, he was going over some new ground, but a lot of older ground, and I felt disappointed. Mm-hmm. And then it hit in the middle of the film, and it was as if we were finally being shown a true opening. And by the time that we got into those last few minutes of this brilliant film, it was empathy that I was feeling not only for ETs, but especially for Homo sapiens sapien us, because we have not been told the truth as a species ever. It isn't just the government of the United States now. Mm-hmm. And that right as we get into the middle of June 2026, it feels like there really is now a possibility that there's going to be more and more. And if the government of the United States is smart, they will take the key from Spielberg and they will start trying to unfold representative documents.
Right. I just want to say, it looks like Spielberg's been a good student of the UFO, UAP phenomena. He's put a lot of aspects of that, including mind control, government cover-up. We're going to talk about the relationship between governments and private industries. I'll get to that. So, Dr. Hertog, JJ, what did you think of the film?
Well, I was flabbergasted by the techniques that Spielberg brought together regarding linguistics, what I would call a whole new level of consciousness communication that was ignored in his first blockbuster film on the subject, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where you had computerized music with tones, quavers, semi-quavers, but not really the human element. Here we have the human element. This film could be entitled E.T. Frequency, because he is bringing out really the background factor, what I and John Mack, my colleague, discovered when we worked together in Africa with the indigenous. It was the sounds, the clicking sounds, going with what I would call a consciousness of music that was so crucial for those who had authentic experiences with the unknown.
Yeah, so what was one of the most important points, Desiree?
Well, I know some people are now writing about it. I think he just read the New York Times, and they said, oh, it was a great sci-fi film.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's a story that Steven Spielberg put together, but the information behind it whether it's the clicking sounds, whether it's the consciousness, whether it's the cover-up, and whether it's the alien forms that they are shown towards the end. I won't say too much about the end of the story. I think he did a great job of showing reality.
Right. This is not a science fiction movie, folks. Spielberg took all of the information he said from what Close Encounters, what he hoped to be true. This stuff is true. So a main part of the story, not to give too much away, is that the government and private industries are keeping the secret of this phenomena from the people. And one of the characters says, no, the people have a right to know. So, Linda, you know the history of that joint venture between private industries and government cover-up. So how does that, I know it's true, but you've studied it. So how do you explain it?
There, to me, there is no question that you have to go back to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Eisenhower was president, and he was given a briefing about the ETs. There was no mystery with him and Forrestal and others. They were, as the sentence was said to me, World War II was an extraterrestrial war fought through human bodies.
What does that have to do with government and private industries?
I think Eisenhower saw the writing on the wall that the only way they were going to be able to contain information about ETs that they didn't want the public to know, mm-hmm. which would mean they didn't want Russia to know, they didn't want Germany to know. And that's where they started isolating the people who were working on actual UFOs, working on bodies, and it was keep it deep, underground, all over. As I understand, there are huge, gigantic underground labs in California, in Taos, New Mexico, other mm-hmm. places, where the government has been doing all of the controlling of everything extraterrestrial since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And today, in a strange way, the Spielberg film is like the first real step to opening up the truth. And then what happens when an entire civilization of 8 billion on a planet rotating around a sun are finally told the truth? My prayer has always been, we need to know the truth in order to evolve.
Hmm.
And let's hope and pray that it's not going to incite more violence in the Middle East and us, that this could be the turning point. Spielberg's film could be the turning point of not just having only corporations and government offices having access to the truth.
Well, it's quite emotional, it was for me, when towards the end of the film, the whole world starts to know this secret. That was pretty amazing.
But you're going back to the corporations, you know, the term that was used by Spielberg for the corporation is Wardex, and it has to do with the retrieval and extraction program. And of course, that goes back to also Philip Corso, who said, you know, the government had these programs, but they also had to turn over the technology to certain corporations.
Why did they?
Well, they did it because that way, not only could the corporations do more with the economics, but also, so if anyone actually went after the government, then in that case, the government says, oh, I don't know, I'm not doing it. So I think it's an interesting balance of what goes on between corporations like Wardex and the government itself. And of course, in the end, this person who's one of the stars, you know, has all the information and he wants to make it public.
So plausible deniability, this is the buzzword, plausible deniability by the government allows all of this to be done behind the scenes, complete
right.
oblivious to politics.
Right, and that's not science fiction.
That's
this
reality.
Is really what's going on. What were we going to say?
And Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso,
yes,
one of the most knowledgeable people about UFOs and World War II. He talked to me twice over a long, like a period of 4 to 5 hours when we did radio pieces together for Coast to Coast AM and for other work that I was doing. And when Philip J. Corso looked at me in the eyes and said, well, I've heard that you say that World War II was an extraterrestrial war fought through human bodies. Linda, it is the truth.
Wow. That's
well, what was also beautiful about the film, I mean, there's parts that I didn't care for, all the chase scenes and all that, but the beautiful part is that this is a contest, in a sense, between those projecting fear and hiding the truth and the messages from the ETs that this is about empathy and love and transcendence. Those are the two forces that are kind of battling each other of which one's going to win out in the end. And so that's where humanity is right now. We're stuck between fear and love, let's say, fear and higher consciousness. And all of us believe that the higher consciousness is our destiny.
And this is the genius of Spielberg, to bring in also the Catholic sister who understood that the act of creation and what is called the Bereshith, or the book of Genesis, God creates us as unique beings for this planet, but of course is part of a much greater creation story.
So actually what she says is the universe is so vast, and I'm just paraphrasing it, it couldn't be just for us. So I think it's a nice balance between talking about corporations, government cover-up, and also acknowledging that the Catholic Church and other religious foundations really have a role to play, that Jesus maybe didn't fly in a flying saucer, but there's other realities still available.
And what hit me was, why should we assume that there could be only a Christ side or another side? And right in the last 2 minutes of the film, I began to have that pressure in my chest that you feel, not because you're crying out of agony, but because it's really hitting you, and it was. There is huge room for Christ and all entities who actually are trying to teach Homo sapien love and nonviolence. And that, to me, was the strongest moment in the Spielberg.
And this is why the film could be considered the evolution of consciousness from Homo sapiens sapien to Homo universalis.
Well,
and there's a manuscript also in all of this that's so beautifully done. And even the names used by the principal characters, Jane Blankenship, one who has really an empty mind for the psychic phenomena or psionics being used through her body by principals behind the scenes, or for that matter, the heroine herself, Margaret Fairchild. And of course, I had two colleagues working at Fairchild Industries back in the 60s and 70s, and they were knowledgeable of planetary intelligence. So there's a metaphor, even for those within the government circles, to realize this is on a high level of release that Steven Spielberg is being given scenario abstracts to use at the end of his film that are right on target.
And if I can also say, you have really the main actor and actress are, you know, male and female. And the male receives the science and the knowledge of the, we'll say, the left side of the brain. Mm-hmm. And the female receives the energy that's connected with the loving, caring, and being able to sense others. So, in a sense, the right side of the brain. So you have both aspects given to humanity to be able to bring this information forth.
Well, also what's so important about this film is that we're finally getting a truth. Yes, it's through cinema, but the footage that's released references all the major cases, Roswell, Ketzberg, and it goes back to what you've always said. Because we've been denied the truth, we are an abused species. Spielberg feels this. He's been obsessed with UFOs. I think personally he's an experiencer. Since a child. And I think he was an experiencer. He talks about green lights as a child in this little chamber. So he is doing this film and showing it to the world, which everyone's going to see, that there is a truth, a reality of this phenomenon. The government has been hiding the secret, and we've been abused, and we're not being abused by those in control anymore.
One thing that surprised me, because I thought he could have taken this and run with it and been absolutely the first, and that is, you and I and Desiree and JJ know that there are at least a dozen different, we'll call them descriptions, of extraterrestrial biological entities, and some are AI and not biological.
Right.
But there is a large number. And if Spielberg had opened up, even if it had been with a government guy sitting at a desk and saying, here is a type that happened in Tennessee, here is a type that happened. It is the multiple numbers of different non-humans. And I've had people draw and draw and draw in situations where they were seeing a being. Mm-hmm. And they are so distinctly different. They don't know each other. Mm-hmm. It can be from somebody across the ocean in another world. Why are we not being opened up at the same time with others that have helped the government? They have not hurt.
Well,
why can't we open up
I think he's taking us slowly. Okay, let's recognize there's one ET species. I mean, I'm just trying to use his logic. And then from there, introduce, by the way, there's 10 or 20 or 80 or 85.
But to me, he introduces at least two kinds. The small grays, which were almost weak in a certain sense and needed help at crash sites. And the other, which we'll say for the future, was more of a taller, more robust, at least intelligent
figure. Linda, you're saying, why don't we get the whole truth
because there are tall whites, there are Nordics, there are reptilians, there are a whole lot.
There's plasma beings, as David Grush just said last week, so why aren't we getting that? Because most people seeing this film have never even heard the word disclosure. I know my family doesn't. So let's introduce this to a worldwide population, which is, I think, the importance of this film, to say, yes, there's a reality here. Yes, the government's been hiding it. And yes, we are being visited, and we need to integrate that reality so we can expand what we think we are as human beings. And there's a lot of ideas about telepathy in this film, the ability of the human mind to control circumstances. That's a big part of this film.
Years ago, when I was working with the famous novelist Sidney Sheldon, mm-hmm. astronaut Gordon Cooper and I were presenting information, authentic information, which is, of course, put into a science fiction modality. But Sidney Sheldon was reluctant to go beyond the extraterrestrial to the ultra-terrestrial.
Right.
What's also interesting is the timing on this, because as many of you know who are watching this, May 8th was the first formal government disclosure, only half a step or a quarter of a step forward, and then May 22nd, and then actually yesterday, the exact same date, which June 12th, when this film came out, you now have a third phase. Now, it's going to be hopefully many, many more, according to David Grush. Maybe another 60 to 90 days, we'll have much more. But the concept is that it's all happening now. And it really is, again, I want to say it again, it's not science fiction. This is real. Those bodies are real. The entities are real.
That's what's so frustrating about the New York Times review of this film. Oh, Spielberg's made another science fiction movie. Isn't that cute? This is not science fiction. This is truth beyond science, beyond the science that we have yet to know.
But why is the timing, actually? Linda, why do you feel this is happening now?
It's a really good question, and I personally think it has to do with what geophysically is in the future of our planet. I think we're going to be, one way or another, we're going to be moving into a dangerous time. There may be explosions on the sun. There may be rising oceans at such a rate that there will be lots and lots of flooding. In many ways, that seems terrifying to a lot of people. And yet, what if what is coming, as Lou Elizondo said recently, something big is coming.
Yeah.
What if it has to do with an evolution in our planet in which the ETs must be introduced in order to save humanity, life on Earth?
Well, that's what Spielberg hints at, that this is all under the control of these higher ET forces, the arrangement of these experiencers in the film coming forward, the activation of their higher consciousness. They are following the higher orders, which is maybe an answer to your question, why this is happening now, because there's a direction from the ETs to say, it's time.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I have to say, even teaching at the university, when you have environmental crises, you also end up with wars and violence. So this is what I think the film was showing, is certain types of, on the verge of, you know, major battles going on, because if you don't have food, if you are having crises. So I agree that there is a time, something's going on our planet for various reasons that is requiring this connection. And we call it also not just Disclosure Day, but Graduation Day.
But there also has to be a sociological awakening to make this teaching relevant. I remember 30 years ago, John Mack and I were presenters at the first conference entitled When Cosmic Cultures Meet.
Right.
Directed by C.B. Scott Jones, who was with the American Intelligence Community. And we, Dr. Mack and I, presented evidence of four different extraterrestrial races, actual pictures. I actually had a mannequin of one of the visitors, but it didn't have any impact because there was not the sociological interest. So 30 years later, we have now the hearings in Washington, which you, Ellen, participated in. Yeah. We have, as it were, a conjunction of the sociological, the psychological, the economic, and the planetary change that you, Linda, just hinted at. So it's the larger matrix of awakening the species in all levels.
That's why I agree with you. This is a cultural phenomenon. Yeah. We need to integrate this awareness into the culture in order for it to become real. And Spielberg is making it. It's still cinema. It's still what some people might call fiction. It's a reality that now people are integrating. One more thing. What he does so brilliantly at the end of the film, he brings media. He brings television and technology in as a final contributor to Disclosure Day. It is the reality we live by, and Spielberg institutes that in the film. So are we seeing a film or are we seeing newsreels is what I think he wants people to get.
And you get the feeling that what you're seeing in those last 3 or 4 minutes is real,
yeah,
and that he was given film, maybe by the government, and it is used without raising up a flag saying this is real, but this is how close we are to having this incredible story for thousands of years finally opened on Earth.
And we agree wholeheartedly with what Linda just said, because what was shown at the very end of the film were literally things that I believe are accurate. Even if he had to remake them, he remade them accurately. But the most interesting thing, and you may have to watch it twice to catch this, is that the reason why this information was released was not because of just some guy who had an interest in releasing it. It was alien intelligence, they call it InVivo 17 was one of them, that was behind the slow pace and eventual push to get this information out to the public. So it was alien, coordinated then by those in Wardex, or the, we'll say the corporations, government that wanted to release
and
it.
And coordinated by people on this side who have always been fighting for the truth. This woman single-handedly has been out there. No matter how life-threatening, whatever,
I want to say that the star of the show,
yes,
actually, really, to me, was a takeoff on exactly Linda's life. She was a reporter on the TV channels, exactly like this lady.
Could you relate to the woman in the film, Linda?
Not as much as I did to myself, because when I think back over the last half century ago, I was going out into pastures in complete innocence and looking at animals that had excisions of ear, eye, tongue, jaw, genitals, laying on ground, no blood, and no tracks. Mm-hmm. And one of the first that I saw was a 1,700-pound steer, and there was dust all around the entire animal. I was there with the sheriff, mm-hmm. and the sheriff looked at me and said, "How does this animal get here without its own tracks?" And that was it. This was the beginning.
That was a shock for you.
Yeah, and law enforcement said, "Linda, you were one of the few who went to pathologists, who went to chemists. And when you started getting the data, the story got stranger and stranger. But does it mean that non-humans in this vast universe want to do something badly to Earth and to us?" No. I worked for up till now, it's been half a century, on that story alone plus others. And I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And most of the ranchers that I did lots of interviews, they're still here. So taking out humanity is not the goal.
Right.
I personally am convinced that there is some kind of energy on the part of other intelligences that want us to finally start connecting with those words in the ancient Protonoia.
This is a Coptic text.
Coptic text, you can take over. But it is May, the thought that dwells in the light for us, for ETs, throughout all of infinity. May it protect us forever.
Well said. This is the great time we're living in to discover these ancient Greek and Coptic texts that speak of higher vibratory experiences with the divine spark. And I believe this is the thrust of the Spielberg movie, is to take us beyond the cops and robbers of government versus young adventure seekers to the realization that we are all part of the entrapment of materialism, and now we're breaking free of this to a higher language code.
Well, that's the thrust of disclosure in general. If you just make it informational, if disclosure is informational, it doesn't change our worldview. If it's just more data, pretty pictures, if we look at disclosure as transformational, we realize there's more to human beings. There's an interaction of mind to mind. There's an activation of downloading intelligence, information, but not just information, but clarity of a higher mind.
Frequencies.
This is what real disclosure is about, that the government has yet to go there, but Spielberg hinted at that. So I think we're in exciting, exciting times where humanity is going to be, what do you call us now?
Homo universalis.
Homo universalis.
But at the same time, we can understand the government's position in the 1940s after World War II to be reluctant to put all the cards on the table because of the bizarre nature of the contact experience, the grotesque experiments, some of which you have looked into and I have looked into in Brazil.
Reptilians and insectoids.
And also the fact that we had competitors on the world scene that wanted to use weapons of destruction. So you can understand the government's position to lay low until they would have more of a profile. After thousands and thousands of cases that Bob Wood and others looked at, and other investigators like the late Alan Hynek presented, we have overcome the emotional difficulties, and I think this is now a field day where we can say, yes, we can put the cards on the table and reconstruct a positive psychology, sociology, and even theology that was, shall we say, endearing to the human soul.
And I think, come back with William Mills Tompkins' quote, World War II was an extraterrestrial war fought through human bodies. That is so full of the facets that we need to understand.
Well, I think that might be beyond. I mean, I think there's probably truth, but there might be beyond this introductory understanding. But we need to go there eventually, absolutely.
Well,
right?
If it is the truth, then the extraterrestrials have had a vested interest in our planet literally for millions of years. Which ones? For what reason? That's what I think the next chapter is going to be.
Well, maybe Spielberg will do it, but maybe the government will have to do it first, because in a sense, it is complex. There are the good guys and the bad guys. We say the extraterrestrials are not that much more superior to us. Maybe they have more mind power, but we have that as well. So basically, you have the really good guys, you have the saints and sages, and you have those that are not so good. So this is us to start learning who we are.
The saints, the sages, and the psychics.
But I do want to say, speaking about these last comments, is this is a very intricate situation. Linda would say it's like being in a hall of mirrors with a
quicksand floor.
And the fact is that we need to keep going with this truth. For us who know this phenomenon is real, this is like a documentary. For those who don't, it's like the writer of the New York Times saying, oh, it's a nice science fiction movie. So we have to keep going and educating people. But the fact that this came out at the same time the government is releasing its files adds weight to the fact this is not science fiction. This is a reality. And all of us here are pushing so everyone will know this, because this will change the dire situation humanity's in, where we're fighting each other in endless wars over endless religions, over endless ownership nonsense of a small piece of land. It doesn't make sense.
And that's what Ronald Reagan said, too. Once we realize who we are, that we're just one planet in the midst of many, and of course astronaut Edgar Mitchell had the same overview effect. It's a new reality, and that's what we're into, Alan.
We're into new realities because the human mind, are what was Stanton Friedman's favorite line about ETs? Who wants to be friends with a bunch of apes whose favorite pastime is tribal warfare?
That's right.
We are still stuck at this level. Spielberg, everything we're doing, all the other people in the disclosure and the contact movement, all the experiencers that I've met know this is about something bigger.
So this is the time to take a deep breath and understand what is said in the New Testament, there is a house and many mansions.
Mm, mm, mm.
What is said even by the great prophets of the Old Testament, that there are Shemayim, the many heavens that human creation is connected with. And in the story of life, we must not forget the preciousness of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
This is what endears me to the work of Linda here, is after many years, over 50 years of field research, is the story is the importance of the soul journey.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And
that's why one of the most important conversations in the film is between the protagonist and the antagonist, the guy who wants to keep the secrets and the guy, Hugo, who's trying to get the secrets out there. And he's been directed by the ETs, I think that's what it's being
correct.
Said,
yeah.
for humans to have empathy. Empathy is our secret weapon, and that's what we need as a planetary civilization. Linda, you've been fighting for it. Linda hugs the waiters in the restaurant. She does. She is very...
I do feel a connection to all humans in a way that seems you want to hug, embrace, because the energy that you receive from each other when it is positive and with the love of spirit is something that feels like it does energize.
Mm.
And that's what we need, is to look and feel each other as being the same kind of beings on a planet where it takes all of us together working together with each other, not killing each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, one more thing I want to bring up, not to be a spoiler, but the last word that the ET said, we don't have to say that.
Let's not say
what that. What the ET gives a message to one of the humans who can understand that, like clicking language, and that word didn't make sense
to me. Well, I think it works on many levels, and until you see the movie, of course, which we all recommend, you know, we don't want to say too much, but there's many levels, which means listen to who we are, figure out what's going on, listen also to extraterrestrials and other levels of intelligence, and listen to the higher sense of, we'll say, our divine purpose.
And listen. That is the important word.
And to yourself, to the what you've just said before, the compassion we have, the empathy we have. We have to start to listen to those inner senses of our humanity.
Within each other.
Yes.
With each other, yeah.
So that's
this is the historic Shema. Hear the frequency. Hear the voice of the divine. Understand that you are more than flesh and blood. This is the whole drama that's unfolding from now all directions. And I anticipate that Spielberg is going to go on with his sequel, because the whole dialogue opens the mouth, the eardrums, the heartbeat.
I think he's taken us far enough. I think we need a couple of years to catch up to what Spielberg actually has done here, so the planet can integrate. I call it a signifying agent when a phenomena or some artifact comes into the popular culture to help us make the bridge from an old reality to some new realities. So that's what Spielberg has done with Disclosure Day. He's made a bridge for those disbelievers. My whole family, my mother, after I wrote my book called Making Contact, I show it to my mother, and she says, "You don't really believe that, do you?" I said, "Not only do I believe it, I made a career out of it."
And we're all in that book.
Right? And we're all in that book. So we are at a critical time. Spielberg, as an artist, creator, someone who can be a visionary for the future, who's obsessed with this topic like we are, has done a really definitive piece about making a bridge into a new world. And that's what we're entering. We're at the threshold. He doesn't take us further than the threshold, but it's up to all of us now to say, yes, this is a reality. What do we do from here? So that's kind of my final question. Yeah.
Listen. That word is important in the film. Listen.
But where do we go? Okay. People, now where, Linda? What is the next step we need to take as a collective humanity?
It's going to start coming fast if we are going to have a new base on Mars being developed by Elon Musk. It's not going to be small. It's going to be large. It's going to be a base, a city, I'm going to say, a city, town.
Is that a good
thing?
On
Mars, on the surface, because I think our government has known for a long time that there are base structures inside Mars that have been used in the past,
mm-hmm.
and Elon and others know, and that it is way past time for Earth to ally itself without politicians, without political boundaries on another planet in this solar system, and if Mars is that, what happens over the next 10 years? I am excited by that.
And listen to what's being released by the government, because a lot of it is also from NASA. And we knew Gordon Cooper, astronaut Gordon Cooper, pretty well, and that recently got released, what he saw in 1951, way beyond where any kind of U.S. or German or Russian technology would have been. He saw a whole flotilla above him. So this shows you there's much, much more. And you have reports now coming out about Apollo 11, Apollo 12, Apollo 17, seeing three lights in the sky, which is a very common phenomena when you see UFOs as well. So, but this is on the moon. So listen to what's being released.
So Dr. J.J. Hertog, you've been in this since 1973, where you had your experience. Where do we go from here as a human civilization?
We go up to a higher frequency, and this is what we are shown in the Spielberg film. Listen to the animals, see the compassion, the empathy, take the road of empathy. And ultimately, it takes us into a whole new realm of charity and consciousness creativity. I feel we're at a stage of what metaphysicians would say, opening the seventh seal, the higher mind. Even John the Divine, the New Testament, speaks of opening the seventh seal, the higher mind that sees the wonders of the, and the glories of the higher worlds. But also, one has to have more than just a mental picture. One has to have a language of association. So work on a sacred, shall we say, preparation. We're going into a context society phase now. We're going to see many situations that require a sense of discernment and balance. Work from the vibrations of the heart, the innerness of the soul, the exquisite pictographic nature of the higher mind, and put together a language of communication that works.
Right. I have to say, we have to listen to our own gifts, our own inner nature. Remote viewing is getting very popular. I just saw 200 people remote viewing on the Shift Network. We're going to the Psy Games in the end of July. Imagine, like a friendly competition of psychic activity. Telepathy is a big part of who we are as humans. The telepathy tapes are a major influence in the world. So these inner gifts, the gifts of the spirit, if you want to call it that, Dr. Hertog, is what we can own now as we move into this new age, so we can meet these beings, on an even playing field.
That's what we want.
So we don't worship them. They are equal to us. They may be maybe a little more intelligent, a little more sophisticated in their technology, but on a soul level, which gets back to your question, they are equal to us, or perhaps we are even at another level of soul.
Absolutely.
So talk about this, a little bit of the soul issue that you've been dealing with for a while, Linda.
When I was little, about 4 years old, I would periodically have this feeling of a pressure coming in my chest, and I would tell my mom about it. And at first she was concerned medically, and then she decided that there was something in me that kept pushing me. And today, when I look back at that four-year-old talking to mom, one of the images that she had on the walls in the house that I love so much and ask her about was of Christ with lambs in a pasture that had been drawn, and mom put it on the wall. And for reasons that are not clear, because there was no emphasis, there was something about the feeling that I had looking at that image that always has been a pressure in my chest. And when it's there, I feel a protection. And I have lived a dangerous life. And I have come to feel that when this is there, it's like I want to hug.
You feel that energy of protection and love that's coming into you.
And I want to hug it.
And you felt that in the movie last night a little bit?
I did.
At what point did you feel it?
It was at the last approximately 5 to 10 minutes. And it was this sense of showing humans in a way that was, we, our biggest problem is going to be to accept and live with other intelligence. And that to do that, we need to bring into ourselves that pressure that I relate to my soul.
The presence, yeah.
And it's the frequency of the soul that I think gets us through a lot of really bad times. And I'm not saying this is going to be bad, but something in me keeps feeling that this pressure that I've always felt and associate with my soul is now somehow helping me a great deal. Wow. And I hope all of you, and that we will, a year from now, have met officially non-humans in space or on the ground.
So Dr. J.J. Hertog, where does the soul understanding relate to the extraterrestrial phenomena?
Well, the soul is a very important facet of the human anatomy. It's beyond the human anatomy as such. We're just beginning to understand this through the research at Stanford Research Institute on mind dynamics. We've reached a point of vibration, realizing that there's something that is beyond the individual mind complex, and that is what the ancients referred to as soul. Mm-hmm. Nefesh in the Hebrew. It is the realization that we are a part of a much larger field of consciousness, and both mind as well as matter come out of the consciousness soul field. So the soul is the inner, shall we say, architecture of life that allows us to prepare for the ongoing or future life that we take with us. When the body falls away, it's the soul that continues into eternity.
Right. So Desiree, do these beings have a soul, or go ahead, talk
about
that.
Some people argue everything has a soul, but I do believe that there's different levels of soul evolution. And I know that that flies in the face of many people's beliefs. But ultimately, one of the things you're seeing in the movie, as you mentioned, Alan, is the mind's ability. That we have an ability, and it was augmented by, we'll say, a kind of wand that was given by ETs or acquired by ETs, misused by Wardex, but others use it in a positive way. So basically, we have the mental ability to know more. We've seen it with remote viewing, which is something that we all work with, or at least Alan and Dr. Urtek and I. And we also have the understanding in terms of our philosophy and Dr. Hertak's unique experience that there are many levels of intelligence, not just the extraterrestrial, but as we wrote in your book, Making Contact, also what we call the ultra-terrestrials. And they are also part of helping and guiding us. It's not just information from the local levels or from an extraterrestrial gray or something like that. We have a greater ability to reach into higher dimensions, and that's connected with our souls.
Well, definitely. One more thing. You addressed it earlier about the nun in the movie says, why would creation have all this space and save it only for us? Well, it's not. I say the universe is full of life. It's full of conscious life. We do not live in a dead universe. We live in a universe that's abundant with intelligences. And somehow, this is what Whitley says, we're gaining a new level of understanding of ourselves that will allow us to meet the other. And that is imminent, Linda. It's imminent.
And having had mystical experiences, I can assure you that what we're going to see eventually, even beyond the extraterrestrial, is something that is incredible, that validates the essential mysteries of what the ancients understood as the beatific vision of what the cosmic Christ, the cosmic glory of the Godhead, far beyond the levels of the experimental gods and demigods that we see on various levels of scientific information.
So to conclude, pretty much, let's do your prayer, Linda. Let's hold hands about being in the light here. And, you know, what you've been taught and what you say all the time as a protection and as an opening to these higher levels. What is that prayer you say?
May the thought that dwells in the light protect us forever.
That came to you as a child, didn't it?
It's been an evolutionary thought in my mind, apparently, since I was young. And this man right here introduced me to the Protonoia. I think it's a 2,000-year-old book.
Text, yes.
What does that mean, Dr. Hurt? The thought that dwells in the light.
Well, it's referring to the higher language of vibration. We're all part of the Protonoia. Means in the Greek, the proto-language, or the higher language that precedes the human.
Well, what does it mean, the thought that dwells in the life?
The thought is the eternal language that we use in eternity.
I would also say that we came about by thought, from higher thought. In fact, you know, thoughts don't really generate so much from us. We're connected with the consciousness field. And that thought that came about for our creation is from the light.
It reshapes us, it caresses us, it elevates us, it brings into the language of fellowship that is eternal.
And I think it actually is us. We are the thought that dwells in the
light. There's no separation, right?
Yeah. And so these amazing people, myself, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep pushing for the truth. We're going deeper into this phenomenon because this is just the threshold, the doorway into the unknown. That's what Spielberg's opened up for the world, for people people who've never heard the term disclosure, people who have no idea that this is a reality. We are crossing the threshold into an unknown new reality that is full of excitement for me, full of possibilities, because people who fear the unknown are just projecting the known onto it. What we're approaching now with the advent of other intelligences on this planet that probably don't want to invade, they probably realize we are connected in consciousness, just like we're all connected.
That's right.
If consciousness is the universal language, our destructive habits are affecting them, just like you said about the atomic weapons blasting into other dimensions. So if we raise our own level to a frequency, we can finally become part of a cosmic civilization.
With love for every life form.
And so it is, a world without end, universe without end, house of many mansions without end, immortal soul without end. The preciousness of the soul is the substance of life.
Amen.
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 Thank you all for being here. Thank you for watching this, you know, exciting program where the future is waiting for us in a way with an open hand, for us to listen to the higher realms that we are entering. Thank you so much for watching. This interview was done on June 13th, today, June 13th, earlier in the day, with Linda Moulton-Howe, J.J. Hertog, and myself, Alan Steinfeld. Stay tuned for more upcoming broadcasts. But I want to finish this whole show with a song I wrote called "Did You See It?" It is the, what I feel, the Disclosure Day anthem.
Did you see it? Hey, yeah, yeah. What's up? Did you see it now? Did you see it? It's shooting along. Well, did you see it? It won't be long. Did you see it? You jump onto this song. Play. Whatever you know, and forget who's keeping score. Let's love and bring it all to the fore.
Did you see it? Did you see it?
Did you see? Hey, 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 hey. Did you see? Did you see? Did you see?